This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 25th, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. There is a move afoot to impeach the latest addition to the U.S. Supreme Court over claims of perjury. Cato's Jean Healy argues that the idea probably won't go anywhere, but that's not to say Brett Kavanaugh was totally truthful during his confirmation hearings. We spoke this week.
I have to admit that when you mentioned this idea to me that there is a push to impeach Justice Kavanaugh, just weeks after he was confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, I actually haven't heard of this. So why is this something that is occurring, and why do people believe that there's some shot at achieving this?
Well, it's not clear how likely it is. People are talking about it, as happens in a lot of these cases. Republicans are talking more about it than Democrats. President Trump's been warning about it in rally speeches, and the GOP is running radio ads on it in House races, vote to defeat the liberal mob before they impeach Justice Kavanaugh. But there are plenty of Democrats who are making noise about it. Senator Cory Booker said he was open to the idea, and there are multiple members, Democratic members of the House Judiciary Committee who have made pretty serious calls for reopening an investigation if they take the House in November.
So why? What are the specific allegations that they're making?
Perjury, mainly about the most serious charge against Justice Kavanaugh, the alleged assault on Christine Blasey Ford in the early 80s, but also about collateral matters, his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee and whether he lied in certain aspects of that. And, one thing you can say, I don't think the case is very strong, but that's not because perjury isn't an impeachable offense. It has been an impeachable offense, particularly for federal judges. We've had five judicial impeachments in the last three decades, and every single one of them has involved false testimony under oath.
I'm reminded of Bill Clinton in the case of where he gave testimony relating to, the Whitewater special counsels, why he had to give testimony. And he eventually had to surrender his law license either before or after he was impeached. So why isn't this taken as seriously or, as credibly as that was?
Well, in general, it is taken pretty seriously. Especially federal judges are not supposed to lie under oath. But if you look at the recent judicial impeachment cases involving perjury from 1986 on, in each case, there's one difference between what's at issue with Justice Kavanaugh. In each of these five cases, Congress had overwhelming evidence of impeachable lies. Three of the five judges who were impeached had already been convicted criminally and were in federal prison when the House voted on impeachment. And the other two involved impeachment referrals after exhaustive investigation by their colleagues. And there was actually also overwhelming evidence that the judges in question in these cases were crooks and or slime balls, for lack of a better word. To give you two examples, one is Florida District Court Judge Alcee Hastings, who was impeached in 1989 after an FBI sting investigation. The grounds were soliciting a $150,000 bribe to reduce the sentence of two mafia-connected developers who'd robbed over $1 million from a Teamsters pension fund. Hastings, the other charge he was impeached for, was lying about that in his criminal trial. He actually, interestingly enough, managed to win an election to Congress in 1992, and so he's still there, and he'll be around to vote on any impeachment effort against Justice Kavanaugh if one should happen. Another case more recently in 2009 is Texas District Court Judge Samuel B. Kent, who was impeached for forcibly groping two female court employees and lying about it to federal investigators. So in each case, you have pretty overwhelming evidence in these recent judicial impeachments. Now, if Brett Kavanaugh lied to the Senate Judiciary Committee about attacking Christine Blasey Ford, that's extremely serious, and it would clearly be an impeachable instance of perjury. But I don't know whether that happened. Neither do you. Neither, it seems, does anybody except for the people who were there. And it certainly doesn't seem as though further investigation is going to bring us anything like dispositive evidence of that central and most serious charge against Kavanaugh. Will probably remain at the sort of he said, she said territory. What that means is that any serious impeachment effort against Kavanaugh is going to pretty quickly move from that, the most serious charge, to and gravitate towards areas where there's clearer evidence of false testimony.
I was about to say, it really seems pretty clear, as you just said, that he was not being entirely truthful about elements of his yearbook and what certain words meant to people at the time. Even if it's proven that he's just lying about that, that counts as perjury, does it not?
It does. And there's nothing to – look, I think that he did give false testimony on certain matters in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, principally involving items in his high school yearbook. And federal judges, particularly up for confirmation to the Supreme Court, are not supposed to lie and dissemble their way into confirmation. Still, that does mean that any serious impeachment effort against Kavanaugh has the high probability of degenerating into something that looks a bit like a farce. What does Devil's Triangle mean? When he said he was a Renata alumnius, was he really, as he testified, just trying to show affection towards a young lady at a sister school? What is the meaning of the word boofing? As it happens, I went to high school in the late 80s in New Jersey, a few states away from where Kavanaugh went to high school, and I remember that term, and it was sort of a corny euphemism for sex. It also makes more sense of that. That meaning makes more sense of what Kavanaugh wrote in the yearbook about. I think it was, "Judge, have you boofed yet?" Unless he was especially concerned about his friend's possible intestinal discomfort, it seems plausible that it was, a euphemism for sex. But how is an impeachment proceeding on these sorts of grounds going to look? Is it going to be worth the effort for House Democrats to have a forensic inquiry into the meaning of the word boofing? Perhaps not.
This isn't unprecedented. As you note, this has happened at least twice before with specific respect to Supreme Court justices.
Impeachments of Supreme Court justices turn out to be even less free. We impeach lower court judges more frequently than anyone else. It's a majority of the 19 impeachments voted by the House in U.S. constitutional history. But impeachments of Supreme Court justices are extraordinarily rare. They're rarer even than presidential impeachments. We've officially done it once, Justice Samuel Chase in 1804 for a number of charges that all really involved serious partisan pro-Federalist bias from the bench, intemperate and inflammatory harangues. One of the charges involved prostituting his high judicial character to the low purpose of an electioneering partisan. And Chase in 1805 missed conviction on one of those charges by, I think, just four votes in the Senate. So some people, former Chief Justice Rehnquist wrote a book that involved the Chase impeachment, and probably the conventional historical view was this was a overreaching by Jefferson and the Democratic Republicans. On the other hand, it really did enforce the results of it. It enforced the norm that the Supreme Court was supposed to be at least visibly above politics, that openly, nakedly partisan behavior, involvement in political fights was something that that the justices were supposed to stay away from. So in that case, an impeachment of a Supreme Court justice had some positive effects. The other time, other significant impeachment effort against a Supreme Court Associate Justice was Justice Abe Fortas in 1969. An impeachment threat contributed to his decision to resign from the court after it came out that he was engaged in a sort of shady financial relationship with a former client. But this is something that we don't do very often. You know, just one and a half in 230 years is a pretty sparse record of Supreme Court impeachments.
Gene Healy is a vice president at the Cato Institute. You can rate and review the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.